Good evening. I'd like to discuss the halachos of hot plates on Shabbos, the use of hot plates, which in Eretz Yisrael they're called platas, plata chashmalit, an electrical plata. We'll talk a little bit about blechs, but blechs are really just the jumping ground to talk about what I want to talk about, which is the hot plate on Shabbos. Now, we talk about hot plates on Shabbos. There are really two questions that have to be dealt with. Two main questions. Number one is the halachas of putting food on a hot plate on Friday afternoon and leaving it on the fire Friday afternoon into Shabbos. That's going to be one shiloh, which we'll talk about in a moment. Number two is the second question about putting food on a hot plate on Shabbos. That will be shiloh number two. And they're two very separate questions, entirely separate questions, and entirely separate sugyas, and we're going to talk about those separately. So hold a moment while we... Okay, so I just shared my screen with you. I hope you're able to see it. The halachas of hot plates. Now, what we're going to talk about tonight is really two sets of halachas, and those are the halachas of what's called in halacha shehiya and chazara. Shehiya means, of course, to be shohet, to wait, to keep something in place, and to hold it there. That's the halacha that is going to be... Let me backtrack one step. I'm sorry. What we're talking about tonight is not bishul. The halacha of bishul is cooking. That means you're doing something to cook something on Shabbos. We're not going to talk about that whatsoever. That's a question of a d'oraisa. We're not talking about bishul b'Shabbos at all. What we will talk about this evening is two d'rabbanans. One d'rabbanan of shehiya, of leaving food on the fire on Friday afternoon, and a separate halacha called chazara of putting food on a blech, putting food on a hot plate, taking food on and off a hot plate on Shabbos. That will be a separate halacha that we'll get to in the second half of the shiur. The sugya begins with the Mishnah in Shabbos Lamed Vav Amud Beis. The Mishnah says, Kira shehi sikuha. We know a kira is a type of stovetop that was ignited, bikash v'gvava, with small tinder, little things that burn out quickly, that don't really make good coals. So nosim aleha tavshil, you could leave on Friday afternoon a chalan pot, a soup pot on it for Friday afternoon. However, if the fuel for your flame was gefes of eitzim, was something that was more substantial fuel like wood, hard wood, then you're not allowed to place a pot of cholent on and a pot of soup on it, even on Friday afternoon. Lo yitin ad sheyigrof, until you clear away the coals, you shovel away the coals, o ad sheyitin es ha'efer, or until you spread ashes over the coals, too, we'll see why you would have to do these two things. So again, the Mishnah is telling us that if you have the type of fire that's a very lightweight fire, a very insubstantial fire, so those, whatever is left of the coals, you could put that on Friday afternoon, but can't leave. But of course, we're not talking about doing anything on Shabbos, just leaving a pot there on Friday afternoon. But if you have a more substantial type of fuel fueling your flame, that would be prohibited until you do one of these two things, either shoveling aside the coals or spilling ashes on the coals. What's the point? Says Rashi. Ad sheyigrof hagechalim, because... Mishum demosif hevel. Rashi is using words that we know from another sugya in Shas. What other sugya? Where do we know the concept of mosif hevel from? We know the concept of mosif hevel when you insulate items on Shabbos, or you insulate items even on Erev Shabbos. You're not allowed to insulate, you're not allowed to wrap your pots on Friday afternoon with anything that will add heat. So, for example, if you have coals, you can submerge your pot in coals on Friday afternoon, because that's called insulating. It's nisud rabbanon that we're worried. Shema, as Rashi concludes, Shema yechate b'gecholam. You're going to stoke the coals and get them to flare up, to heat up, to have more oxygen for the combustion. So, therefore, we don't want you to sit the pot on top of the coals, because the coals continually give off heat. Rashi is connecting this issue of shehiya on Friday afternoon to be similar to the issue of hatmana, of insulating on Friday afternoon. We'll see what that significance of that is a little bit later. What's the solution? So if you clear away the coals, you're not going to be worried about stoking the coals. That's easy enough. You can't stoke that which is cleared away, right? So if the issue is that you'll stoke the coals, Now, keep in mind, stoking the coals is not bishul. Stoking the coals is mavir. It's a different one of the 39 malachas. Bishul is cooking food. Mavir is causing a fire. So we're worried that if you leave your food on the stovetop, it might be like some kind of insulating situation, and therefore we're worried you shouldn't insulate with something that gives off heat. You might come to stoke the coals. We'll get more deep into what Rashi means in a few minutes. But what does, so therefore, if you clear away the coals, we're not worried you're going to stoke them. The second way you could solve the problem of putting the your pot on a fire is if you sprinkle ashes. Why? Rashi says that does one very important word. It cools off the coals. Litzananam, zetzonenotam, it is mitzaning them. Modern Hebrew for a cold, if a person has a sneeze and a cold, it's a tzinun. The word sonein is cold. So you see from Rashi that if you make the embers, the coals, cold, that will allow you, you cool them off a little bit, then we will allow you, then Chazal will allow you to leave the pot of cholent or the pot of soup on the fire on Friday night as Shabbos comes in. Now, we have to understand what is happening a little bit. To understand, to flesh things out a little bit, give me 2 minutes just to flesh the issues out, and then we'll be able to see what's happening here. Comes the Ran and says, you know what the issue of, you know why the rabbi said, Chazal said, you can't just leave a pot on a stove on Friday night? This is what we were worried about. We're worried that you might come to stoke the coals because you want to make sure your pot will be fully cooked. What's going to happen? You're going to see your pot. The coals are starting to die down. Friday night, you're going to be worried. This is our lunch. This is our dinner for tonight. You want to speed up the cooking process. You're going to take a stick. You'll shove it into the coals and you'll make the coals light up, flare up to increase the heat. Ah, says the Ran. So therefore, Chazal said, we don't want you to even leave it on a situation of coals so that you don't come to stoke them. Says the Ran, you know what? But if you shove away the coals, or if you sprinkle ashes, you know what you accomplish? Look what I underlined in red. De'ika hekera, shemisalek da'ato milachtos b'gecholim. That will make it mutter. These 5-6 words are very, very pivotal. The Ran says that the concern is that you're going to stoke the coals. The rabbinic solution that you don't come to stoke the coals is what? To do something like shovel the coals to the side or sprinkle ashes. What do you accomplish by shoveling the coals to the side? Why will that make you not stoke them just because they're shoveled to the side? Or what will make you not stoke the coals just because you sprinkled ashes? Ah, de'ika hekera. De'ika hekera, that's what the Ran says. Since there's a heker, there's a recognition, you're reminded, you are reminded that there's something different, all of a sudden, it's like taping the light. If you tape the light on the wall, you're not gonna flick the light on and off because there's a visual obstruction. Just like we have the concept of a heker in Hilchos Nida, between a husband and wife on the table, if there's a heker, also that makes sure they won't reach over and take one another's food. Ika heker. So if you see the coals are pushed to the side, if you see that there's ashes sprinkled about, you won't come to do what we're scared that you're going to come to do. But the Ran adds 4 words. What is the heker going to accomplish? Shemisalek daito milachtos b'gecholim. That this heker that you sprinkle the coals or that you shove the coals to the side is a heker that shows that you don't care or you don't plan your misalik yudas from stoking them. Meaning, if I do something active by pushing them to the side, it's not just that there's something different, something looks different. It's not like a heker at a table with a husband and wife. When a wife is in Ida, you put a little vase or a salt shaker or a pepper shaker between the two so that there's a heker to remind people that you shouldn't reach to take from somebody else's plate. No, this is a heker that by doing this heker, that is misalik your das from. Meaning, if I push the coals to the side, or if I cool off the embers, that's the greatest demonstration that I'm not going to come to stoke them. What's stoking? The purpose of stoking is because I want to enhance the heat. I want to raise the heat. So if I do something that will remind me, before Shabbos, I did something to make sure that the heat has diminished. I moved it all to the side, all the coals to the side. Alternatively, I sprinkled ashes on them. That shows that I don't want it to be hotter. Oh, so it's not just the hecker, a visual hecker, to show you, oh, something's different. No, it's much more than that. I'm doing something to show that I'm trying to actively cool it off. If I did something to actively cool it off, that shows that I'm not going to do something that will make them hotter. I won't stoke them. That is our analysis of these six words of the Ran, which we're going to come back to when we compare it to what some of the other Rishonim says. Say, comes the Rambam, and the Rambam says that when you have a food that's, well, we'll talk about what kind of food it's going to be later. The Rambam says if you are going to, you're going to push away the coals or you'll cover it with ashes, it's going to be mutter to leave the pot on it on Friday afternoon. Because you're mesiach das from this tavshil. Interesting words. You're mesiach das from this tavshil because you removed the coals, you pushed the coals aside, or because you sprinkled ashes on top of your coals, that shows that you're not thinking about this pot of chalent. And therefore, we don't have to be worried you're going to be mechate the fire. We're not worried that you're going to be stoking the coals because you're not thinking about this pot anymore. I don't understand this, Rambam. What in the world does the Rambam mean that because I put ashes on top of the coals or because I push the coals to the side, therefore I'm not going to be thinking about this pot, and since I'm not thinking about the pot, I don't care about this pot anymore, therefore I'm not going to come to stoke the pot, the coals below the pot? Well, this is the question that the Kesef Mishnah asks on the Rambam. He quotes one of the Rishonim, the Ramach, not sure who the Ramach is. Tzarech Iyun. Hech yisiyach daita sherei b'daita l'achla b'layla. This is your soup. Just because I don't understand why you're not going to be thinking about your soup pot. If it's a pot that you don't care about, that you're not going to eat, I understand if you don't care about it, you're not going to eat it, so we don't have to be worried you're going to come to stoke the coals to improve its cooking and to improve its taste, to make it cook better. But if this food is on the menu, you're going to be eating it. In fact, you might not have another pot of soup. You might not have another pot of chalent. This is probably your only hot food for the meal. So what in the world does the Rambam mean when he says you're mesiach your das from it? Oh, since you don't care about this pot, you're not going to come to stoke the coals. So answers the Kesef Mishnah or the Ramach. Yeah, I'm sorry, answers the Ramach. You know what the Rambam means? He means Mishum da'avid heker kevan de'garaf al-katam de'lo asa l'chatuyeh. He means if you did something to do that, we're not worried you're going to come to do that. You see my hands? If you do something to ensure that it's going to be cold, we're not worried you're going to come to do something to make it hotter. It doesn't mean, don't understand the Rambam, that the Rambam is saying that you're masiach yadas, you don't care about the pot. No, just because you move the coals or you sprinkle some ash, that doesn't mean you not care about the pot. All the Rambam means is if you are masiach yadas from trying to improve the pot. How are you masiach das from improving the pot? Well, if you did something actively on Friday afternoon to cool down this stove top, so we're not going to be worried. That shows you're masiach yadas from heightening the heat on this stovetop. You did something that's the opposite of what we're worried that you're going to do. So accordingly, this ends up being very similar to the way we explained the Ran. Okay, fine. Now, the Shvus Yitzchak. Okay, we're not going to get into that. Now, we did the first part. The first part of this year was to show that when we're discussing leaving food on the flames on Friday night, you have to have something to show that you're not going to play with the fire. So in English, we call that a blech. That which the Mishnah spoke about moving the coals to the side, or covering the dropping the ashes on the coals. Nowadays, we don't use ashes on a coals because we don't really use coals at all. We use a fire, a flame from the burner. So how do we lower the intensity of the heat on the burner? We put down a blech. So a blech is the equivalent of dripping the ashes on the coals. What does a blech accomplish? So a blech accomplishes, presumably it lowers the level of heat a little bit. Or perhaps it just shows that I'm doing something to prevent me from raising the fire. It puts something there, some visual obstruction between me and the flame, me and the heat source. That's what a blech does. Okay, we didn't mention the word hot plate yet, but we're going to get to hot plate. Now, before we talk about hot plates, we have to get ourselves familiar with one more point. And that is, when did Chazal make this isser of leaving a plate, of leaving a soup or a cholent on an open flame? Unless you put a blech on it, or unless you scrape the coals to the side or cover it with ashes, when is it usser to leave a soup pot on an open flame, such that you must have a blech? So here, we have a gigantic machlokas. The simple reading is that you always have an isser to put, until something is cooked. Hold on 1 second. 1 second, please. This point is going to be a machlokas in the Gemara. 1 second, give me a second. Look at the first line of the Shulchan Aruch, and then we'll go backwards to the Gemara. The Shulchan Aruch says one opinion first. This is the opinion of Rabbanan. We'll see who argues on this Rabbanan. The first opinion of the Shulchan Aruch says the following. If you have a pot of soup that's not cooked, not fully cooked, or even if it's fully cooked, you know, sometimes if you have a fully cooked cholent on Friday afternoon, but it gets better. You know what? If you leave a cholent on an open flame as Shabbos comes in, we are worried that you're going to stoke the coals. Why? Because you want to improve the cholent. Certainly, if it's not fully cooked and you want to make sure it gets fully cooked, we're definitely even more concerned that you might stoke the flames. And therefore, whenever you have a pot that is either not fully cooked or even if it is fully cooked, but it is something that improves as it cooks, we are worried that you're going to stoke the coals, and therefore you have to put on a blech, or you have to do what we call garafikotmi, you have to scrape away the coals or sprinkle ashes. Otherwise, we're worried you're going to come to stoke the coals. Let's look at that line of the Shulchan Aruch. Kira, you have a stovetop. This is all talking about an Isser on Friday. Normally, when you think of Isurei Shabbos, you think that it's us to do things on Shabbos. Well, here we have an Isser d'Rabbanan of Hilchos Shabbos that you're not allowed to do on Friday afternoon. Imagine Friday afternoon at 2 p.m., right? Shabbos doesn't come in until 8 o'clock. 2 p.m., 6 hours before Shabbos, you could violate Shabbos. How? At 2 p.m., you put your pot on the stove. Well, of course, you could always fix it till 8 o'clock. But if 8 o'clock comes and you didn't fix it, you didn't put it on a blech, you didn't sprinkle some ashes on your coals, or shove the coals to the side, you violate an Issa D'Rabbanan that you might come to stoke the coals. Except, when will it be mutter? Look what he says here. It will only be mutter if the food item is fully cooked, and the more it cooks, the worse it gets, the more dried out it gets. Then we're not going to be worried that you're going to stoke the coals. So let me give you an example. Let's say you have a kugel. Kugels, once they're fully cooked, they're ready. What happens if you have a fully cooked kugel that you leave on top of the stove? Only one thing. It gets burnt or dried out. Oh, so if you have a fully cooked kugel before Shabbos and you want to keep it hot for Friday night and you leave it on the stovetop, I know usually we heat up kugels in the oven, but you want to leave it on the stovetop on a low flame. Since it's fully cooked before Shabbos, and the longer you leave it there, the more dried out it's going to get, the worse it's going to get, the dried out or even a little burnt, then you are allowed to leave it on an open flame. You will not need a blech at all on Shabbos. That's the halacha that the Shulchan Aruch paskins. But that means that you'll never be able to leave a soup, you know? Because what happens when you cook soup? The longer you cook soup, the more flavorful it gets. That's why sometimes the leftovers of the Shabbos soup taste better than the Friday night Shabbos soup. Cholent also. Cholent, the longer you cook the cholent, usually, if you have a cholent, that cooked for 6 or 8 hours on Friday, it's not as good. Shabbos day, if they're cooked for 15, 17 hours, then it's much better. So the longer you leave the cholent there, the better it tastes. So then you're not going to be able to leave even a fully cooked cholent on an open flame on Shabbos. Let's now, for the first time, introduce the words plata, or hot plate. According to what I just said, if we assume a hot plate is like an open fire, and we're worried you're going to stoke the coals, or maybe adjust the heat on the hot plate, right? You have a hot plate that has low, medium, high. According to what we just said, if a hot plate is considered the same as a stovetop, it should be prohibited to leave soup on a hot plate on Friday night. It should be prohibited to leave cholent on a hot plate on Friday night, because the longer the soup or the cholent cooks, the better they will taste. And therefore, we are concerned, just like we're concerned you might stoke the coals of a flame, so too we should be equally concerned you might adjust the level, the setting of the hot plate, and you will violate electricity or whatever else you're violating with Mahavara, causing the elements to get hotter. Whatever violation it is, you're going to violate, and therefore, according to what we just said, it should come out that it will be prohibited to leave a cholent or a soup on a hot plate that you could adjust on Friday afternoon. What can you leave on a hot plate? What you can leave on a hot plate, according to what we just learned, is a kugel that's fully cooked. Because it's fully cooked, so you don't have to make sure it gets cooked. And you're not going to want to raise the flame or raise the setting on the hot plate, because the more it cooks, the drier it gets, and the more burnt it gets. That's not your goal. You're not going to try to do it. So you should be able to leave a fully cooked kugel that will potentially only dry out, it won't improve, it will only get a little bit worse, but you want to have it hot, so you'd rather have it hot. So you could leave that on the hot plate on Friday afternoon. That's what the Shulchan Aruch holds. But Rabbosai, I told you there was a machlokas in the Gemara about this. That was the opinion of the Chachamim, that the Shulchan Aruch paskin like. But the Gemara, let me show you the Gemara. The Gemara has an opinion of Chananya. Says the Gemara in Shabbos, Lamed Vav Amud Beis, Tanya, Chananya Omer. Chananya is going to come out with a kula. Chananya is going to say that if something is fully cooked, I'm really not worried. If something's almost fully cooked, I'm not worried that anyone's going to have to play with the flames to make sure that it gets fully cooked. Once it's edible, there's nothing to worry about. Once it's edible, nobody's going to play with the flame on Shabbos. If it's not yet edible, maybe you'll play with the flame to make sure it gets somewhat edible. But once something's minimally edible, then I'm not worried that you will play with the fire. So how does Chananya say that? Let's see the Gemara. Gemara, Chananya Omer, Kol Shuk Meichel Ben Jusai, anything that is cooked sufficiently, like Meichel Ben Jusai, we'll define it in a minute. Mutar L'shos Al Gabe Kira. You're allowed to leave that on a, if it's minimally cooked, Meichel Ben Jusai, of course, Ben Jusai was a thief, and he always ate on the run, because there were people running after him. The police were always running after him, so he would take him, he would find some meat, he would cook it, a certain amount, we'll see exactly how much. And just to it barely edible, he would devour it just beyond raw. It was a little, just no longer raw, but not really. None of you and I would never eat it like that. You know, you go to a restaurant and you ask for rare and they give it to you and it looks like it's totally raw. And yeah, I guess your idea of rare and their idea of rare is different. So that might have been what even that's probably more than what Meichel Ben Jusai is. So Chananya says, as long as it's just barely edible, that Ben Jusai would eat it just beyond raw. As long as it's barely edible by somebody, I'm not worried anyone's going to play with the flame, anyone's going to stoke the flame. As long as you could minimally eat it, it's Meichel Ben Jusai, Mutar L'Shos Al Gabe Kira, even though the Kira, this stovetop, was not, you didn't clear away the coals, you didn't sprinkle the ashes, there's no blech, it's an open flame. According to this opinion, according to Chananya, you are permitted to leave as long as it's a little bit cooked. It's Meichel Ben Jusai, you're allowed to leave something on an open flame as long as it's a little bit cooked. So according to Chananya, let's go back to our cases. According to Chananya, can you leave a soup on an open flame on Friday afternoon? Chananya says the only time that we're worried that you might stoke the flame to improve the soup or to improve the cholent is if the soup is not yet minimally cooked. It's not edible at all. The chant is inedible. That's the only time in the world you might stoke the flame to make it edible. But if something is already just barely edible, let's see what that number is in a moment. Then we're not worried you're going to stoke the flame. So what's that number? Let's look at the purple. What's the definition of Maicha Ben Jusai? So we have a Machlokas Rishonim. I'm not going to go into the Machlokas Rishonim in depth, but the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, Maicha Ben Jusai Shul Chatzi Bishulo. In other words, once you have, and the way the Achronim say it is, let's say you have a cholent. If you ever, by the way, looked at I know how we make cholent. We put it on Friday afternoon, and whatever time we put it on Friday afternoon, we eat at Shabbos lunch, whatever time we have Shabbos lunch. But most people who work with recipes don't do things like that. There's a time that you're supposed to leave something in the oven. If you look at a slow cooker cookbook, right, a cholent pot is a crock pot. It's not just from Jews who use crock pots. The world around us uses crock pots, and they're called slow cookers. And they're slow cooker cookbooks. Do you know how long a slow cooker cookbook says you're supposed to cook all the things in the slow cooker cookbook? Generally, I did look, and we have a slow cooker cookbook. It's 6 to 8 hours. That's normal cooking time when you want to cook some meats or some stews or soups or chilies in a slow cooker. It's 6 to 8 hours. That means Maicha Ben Jusai will be, for cholent, 3 to 4 hours. I know you lost the video. Don't worry about that. So 3 to 4 hours of cooking makes the food that it's already Maicha Ben Jusai. Once it's 3-4 hours cooked, that means, let's say Shabbos this week is 8 o'clock. If you put up a cholent at 5 o'clock or a little bit before 5, it's already half cooked. By the time Shabbos comes in, you do not need a blech. You do not need to put ashes. You do not need to clear the coals. And therefore, if we talk about a hot plate, according to Hananya, as long as it's half cooked before Shabbos, it's just barely edible. The cholent was up for 3 hours. The soup, how long does the soup boil for? A soup boils for, let's say, 3 hours. If you boil up a soup for an hour and a half, then you'd already be able to leave it on an open fire, and therefore you'd be able to leave it on a hot plate. If you have a hot plate, according to Hananya, you have a hot plate that you want to leave your food on Friday afternoon, as long as it's half cooked. This is a big kula. Chachamim, who we saw earlier, the Shulchan Aruch Paskin like Chachamim, that has to be fully cooked. Not only fully cooked, but fully cooked, then it will get ruined the more you cook it. So according to Chachamim and the Shulchan Aruch, you would not be permitted to leave cholent or soup on an open flame, nor on a hot plate that you could adjust higher. That would be usur. But according to Hananya, once it's half cooked, 3 hours for cholent, an hour or an hour and a half for soup. If the soup could be cooked in an hour or two, in 2 or 3 hours. So just put 1 to 1.5 hours of pre-cooked soup. You could leave it on the hot plate, even if it's an adjustable hot plate. We're not worried you're going to come to eat it. As the Shulchan Aruch says, once something is already cooked, like Maicha Ben Jusai, lo chai shina, we're not worried dilma asi lechtui that you're going to come to stoke it. Because it's edible. It's edible. Once something's edible, we're not worried you're going to try to make it better, try to improve it. That, Hananya says, is not concerned. Now, it's important to know a very important Mishnah Berurah. That's a big kula. The Mishnah Berurah says, even though I just decided that Hananya holds this lenient position, that as long as something is half-cooked, you could already leave it on an open flame without a blech, on a hot plate. The Mishnah Berurah says, what is that Maicha Ben Jusai? Yesh omrim chatzi bishul. V'yesh omrim shlish bishul. Wow, even a third cooked is the minimalist position. Even a third cooked is just barely edible. A third cooked. So again, if a cholent, as the slow cooker cookbook tells us, 6 to 8 hours, that means if 6 hours is completely cooked, 2 hours for a cholent, 2 hours, Rabosai, that you put up your cholent 2 hours before Shabbos, you can leave it on an open fire on Shabbos, according to Hananya. And therefore, you could leave it on a hot plate for 2 hours. I'm sorry, once it's cooked for 2 hours, you could leave it on a hot plate, even if it is, once it reaches 2 hours cooked. That's this opinion. So how do we wait? We have a machlokas. Is it half cooked or a third cooked? The difference of an hour or two, depending on the type of food you're dealing with. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Chatzi Bishul. That's the Shulchan Aruch I showed you a moment ago. However, concludes the Mishnah Berurah, an important kula. But Malkam Hadchak, Efshar D'yesh L'Kahakel. If you get home from work on a Friday afternoon and you get home, you pull in at 5:30 till you get the food ready at 6:30, and you have Shabbos at 8 o'clock, you got an hour and a half, or till Shkia or whatever, it's 8:30-ish. So you got just 2 hours of cooking in. Well, you have on whom to rely that you could leave this chant on an open flame or on a hot plate. So what we have here, my friends, is really a gigantic machlokas. According to the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch that I showed you earlier, the Shulchan Aruch Paskalei Chachamim, who says that the only time you're allowed to leave something on a flame or on a hot plate is if it is fully cooked and it's only going to get worse, like a kugel. But Chananya was lenient. And he said, as long as it's Ma'achah Medrasai is permitted, and you therefore you can leave a partially cooked, minimally cooked chalenter soup on a flame or on a hot plate on Friday afternoon. How do we paskin? I'm going to show you something incredible. You want to see something incredible? The next line that I'm going to show you is a world-famous line. Wait, I have to share the sheet with you. Hold on, I'm sorry. We lost it for a second. I'm going to share a one-line rush that is a world-famous rush. One line, but it's world-famous. You'll see why. And I think you'll all smile when you see this rush. The rush points out that there's a big machlokas about this issue. Are you allowed to leave on an open flame or on a adjustable hot plate? Are you allowed to leave a chalent on a hot plate on Shabbos? Are you allowed to leave a chalent on an open flame? Or do you need a blech? Are you allowed to leave a soup on an open flame on Friday afternoon? Or do you need a blech? Could you leave a chalent pot or a soup pot on a hot plate? How do we paskin? According to Chananya, it's mutter. According to Chachamim and the Shulchan Aruch, it's aser. Says the Rush, this is how we paskin. U'bishvil sh'rabu deos b'hai piska. There are many opinions. I just showed you the machlokas in the Gemara, Machlokas Rishonim, in this issue. Look at the next three words. Says the Rush, I'm going to have to be makel in this Shaila. You know why? You know why I have to be makel in this Shaila? Because look at the next five words. V'Yisrael adukin b'mitzvahs oneg Shabbos. The Jews are they cleave, they stick, they adhere to the mitzvah of enjoying Shabbos food, and therefore, lo yishmu lahachmir. They're not going to listen to you if you want to be machmir on them when it comes to their food on Shabbos. And therefore, concludes the Rush, hanach lahem keminag shnagu al pi poskin kichananya. I'm willing to be lenient, like the opinion of Chananya, who says that you're permitted to have your chalent and your soup pot on an open flame, as long as it's minimally cooked, as long as it's just merely a Michael Ben Jesai, that's enough. Why? Because Jews love food. So next time, you can make a lot of jokes out of this, but because Jews love food, therefore what? Therefore we change halacha. Therefore we are willing to rely on the lenient opinions when it comes to Shabbos food, because Jews are adukim b'mitzvahs onik Shabbos. We love our Shabbos food. And we're not going to listen to the Chachamim to be machmir. Therefore, we're going to be willing. The Chachamim, the Rush says, let's pass like Chananya. What an incredible svara. What a wild line. This line is well known in the yeshivas. Yisrael adukim b'oneg Shabbos, b'mitzvahs oneg Shabbos. And because Jews are so loving of oneg Shabbos, of our Shabbos food, we're going to have to be makel, and we will allow leaving a pot of soup and a pot of chalent, even though it gets better and improves. And the Chacham would say it's aser, the Shulchan Aruch would say it's aser. The Rosh and the Rama, my friends, the Rama, the Ashkenazim, are mekel, not like the Shulchan Aruch that I showed you. And therefore the Rama and the Ashkenazim are mekel like this Rosh, that it is permitted to, as long as something is minimally cooked, K'maychel ben Jesai, you put up a challah 2 or 3 hours before Shabbos, you put up a soup an hour or an hour and a half before Shabbos, that's already a third or a half cooked, and you're allowed to leave it on an open flame on Shabbos. Equally, you're allowed to leave it on a hot plate as Shabbos comes in. Excuse me for a second. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehyeh B'dvaro. Thank you. Now, I want to raise a question that some of you might have been wondering. I've been using words interchangeably that maybe you don't like that I have. I've been using the words fire, open fire, interchangeably with a hot plate. Now, what's the problem with an open fire? That you might stoke the coals and make the fire hotter, right? Well, what's the problem with a hot plate? Well, you might turn the setting on to be higher. So we're going to talk about a non-adjustable hot plate in just a minute. But before we get to a non-adjustable hot plate, let's talk about a hot plate that has two settings, low and high, or three settings, low, medium, and high. Let's say it's already, the setting is already at the highest level, the highest setting. So what are you worried about? Are you going to make it higher? You can't. It's already at the highest setting. Oh. So if the only yisur for leaving my soup or my chalent on an open flame is that I might stoke the coals and make it hotter, I understand when it comes to coals or an open flame. But when it comes to a hot plate that is already, if it is, already on the highest level, it already is on the high, maybe we could argue that if you can't make it any higher, or maybe even on my stovetop. Let's say I have a fire on my stovetop, and I turn on the dial all the way till high, maximum flame. Now, let's say, for example, again, we spoke about this week in a different context. Let's say, for example, I'm in a hotel. I don't have a blech. I'm in North Dakota. You can't go to, there are no, the hardware stores that, where my business meetings in North Dakota don't have blechs in the hardware stores there. So I'm in my hotel. I want to put up a chalenter soup for myself for Shabbos. There's a, it has a suite with a kitchenette, with a stovetop. I have my kosher pot. I have my chalent, my soup. But I don't have a blech. How am I going to leave it on the flame? So if it's Kamaicha Ben Jusai, okay, it's great. But what about the fact that it's maybe, if I leave it all the way on high? Maybe it's not so safe, but putting that aside, if I leave it all the way on high, should that make it okay? Maybe I don't have to be worried about Mechate Begecholim if it's already at the max. Maybe I don't have to be worried about being Mechate Begecholim on my adjustable hot plate if it's already on high. This was a question that was raised, that was posed, to none other than Rav Moshe Feinstein. B'tanure gez shalanu, kishe berez hagaz, berez is a faucet. When the gas, the dial, is pasuch legamre, is entirely open, it's on the max, v'iyah sh'ol l'hagdil ha'esh, ha'im tzarech blech. Do you need a blech if it's fully, the gas is on high? Rav Moshe says yes. Even if it has the highest setting, you have the gas on high, you have the hot plate on the highest possible setting, and you can't do it any higher, it should still be aser. What's the problem? The problem is, are you going to stoke coals? I can't stoke the coals. It's on the highest. He gives three reasons. Says Rav Moshe, let's see his three reasons. Number one. First of all, we know the concept called low plug. Low plug means once Chachamim make a takana, it applies in all circumstances. Even if you happen to have generated a circumstance that the reason doesn't apply, you're right. In your specific case, when you happen to raise the flame in your kitchen to the highest, this reason doesn't apply that you might come to raise it. But Chachamim said, we don't want you leaving anything on an open fire because somebody might adjust the fire on Shabbos. So just because you put yourself in a situation, you put it on high, we're still worried. Low plug, famous low plug. That's number one. Number two. Says Rav Moshe, an interesting svara. He says, maybe we should be worried you're going to lower the flame. What? Chachamim were never worried about lowering a flame. They're only concerned that you're going to put out a flame. They're only worried that you're going to stoke the flame to get it bigger. Why should all of a sudden now in modern times should we worry that you're going to lower the flame? He says very simply, because in the olden days, it was a big deal to lower a flame. You had to pour water on it to lower the flame. Now, what do you have to do to lower the flame? Toof! Just flick your wrist a little bit. Oh, so maybe if the Chazal had that kind of ease to lower flames, maybe they would have asked even lowering flames. Interesting. So that's the second reason. So number one, even if you have it at the highest level, maybe there would still be asked to leave food on an open flame because it's a low plug. Number two, because maybe we're worried you might lower it. Number three, maybe you might lower it and raise it. Okay, we don't have to get into that. Either way, concludes Rav Moshe Feinstein that if the food is such that it needs a blech, it will need a blech even if you have it at the highest flame. So if we stop here, what comes out is the following. Just like on a stovetop, you're not permitted. Let me rephrase that. We have a raging machlokas. If you're on a stovetop, on an open fire, if you have something that is not cooked at all, then of course everyone agrees you can't leave it on an open fire because you're going to come to stoke it. If it's Michael ben Jusai, it's a half or a third cooked before Shabbos, then there's machlokas. Chananya and the Ramah, the Ashkenazim, are making and say, yeah, you can leave it on an open flame once it's half cooked. And the Shulchan Aruch says, you're not allowed to leave it on an open flame once it's half cooked. You have to wait till it's not only fully cooked, but fully cooked that it will get worse as it dry out as you continue cooking. So in other words, according to the Shulchan Aruch, you're never allowed to leave, even if it's fully cooked, you're never allowed to leave a cholent or a soup, which always improve as you cook it, on an open fire. You'll always need a blech, and you will not be able to put it on a plata either, on a hot plate. Now I have a secret for you. Normally, Sfaradim paskin like the Shulchan Aruch, and Ashkenazim paskin like the Ramah, right? This is one situation where even the Sfaradim are mekel, are lenient, like the Ramah. Interestingly enough. So even if you're Sfaradi, or even if your friends are Sfaradi, everyone can be lenient, that once food is cooked k'machal ben jusai, you do not need a blech, nor do you need to, just like you don't need a blech, you could also leave it on your hot plate, even if it's an adjustable hot plate. You can leave it on your hot plate once it is cooked, Michael ben Jusai, before Shabbos. So therefore, if we stop here, I would tell you that if you want to cook, if you want to leave anything on a hot plate on Shabbos, or an open fire, on a hot plate on Shabbos, whether it's adjustable, even if it's an adjustable hot plate, all you have to do is make sure that it is at least half cooked and b'shas hadchak a third cooked before Shabbos comes in. And that's how we paskin in regards to leaving food on a plate, a hot plate before Shabbos. There is one exception. What about a non-adjustable hot plate? Until we were talking about a hot plate that you could adjust, just like a flame that you could adjust. And we were saying, just like we're worried that you're going to adjust a flame, we have to be worried that you could adjust a hot plate. What if you have a non-adjustable hot plate? There's nothing to be mechate. If the whole iser of shehiya, of leaving food on a flame on Friday afternoon, is that you might come to adjust the flame, you might come to stoke the coals, there's nothing to adjust. It's a non-adjustable hot plate. There's one setting. You plug it in, and it's on. So we're not worried you're going to turn on and off. Once it's on, it's on. No adjusting. There's no multiple settings. There's no dial. So there, maybe we just engineered a situation that's automatically considered like a blech. What's the whole point of a blech? The blech is a reminder. It shows that you're doing something to demonstrate that you want to make it cold, that you're not going to play with it. This I can't play with even if I wanted to. So maybe I should be permitted to leave even raw foods on a hot plate on Friday afternoon. Because what's the concern? Are you going to come to be mechate? You'll come to adjust? There is nothing to adjust. You hear that, Svara? So maybe a hot plate should be totally mutter even without having any level of cookedness. Even before it gets, we just finished saying that according to the Ramah and Ashkenazim, and now even Sfaradim, we go like Hanani, that once something is half cooked or a third cooked, it's Michael ben Jusai, you can leave it on the flame, and you can leave it on a hot plate. But that's only after it's Michael ben Jusai. But before Michael ben Jusai would be prohibited. But wait a second, now we're saying maybe if it's a non-adjustable hot plate, you should be able to leave it on the hot plate. This question was raised to Moshe Feinstein. Hayim mutter lechamim. One second. No, that's a little bit of a different point. I want to show you an interesting psak from Eliel Yashiv that makes the svar that we just said sort of fall away. Shamati, I can't highlight the line because it's in a text, but it's in a image box. But look, you could read along with me. Shamati mi Gon Reb Yosef Shalom El Yashiv Shlita. Now, unfortunately, he's Zatzal. He was Nifter about 7 years ago or so. Digam, I was at his Levaya 6 years ago. Digam Plata Chashmalit, an electric hot plate. She'ein by Avsharas Lishinuyim. You can't adjust it. Begova home to the height of the heat. Right, it's not adjustable to medium low high, low medium high. Still, it will be prohibited to leave a pot on Friday afternoon. Also, Lishos Aleha. Why? What do you mean? Why are you considering this an open flame? There's nothing to poke around. You know what he says in the third line of this text box? Delo plug chachamim bo'or atzma. The chacham didn't make any distinctions. The famous lo plug line. Since it's lo plug, since chacham made an iser to not leave food on fire, they don't care if it's a fire that you could adjust, whether it's a fire you can't adjust. They just said, you can't leave a fire, you cannot leave a food on a fire unless you do one of these things that I told you, that Chacham told you, that is to drop some ashes on it or to clear the coals away, and there's no way to drop ashes on. Wait, how would I drop ashes on a stovetop? Oh, with a blech. Oh. So on a hot plate, I would need a blech, even if it's not adjustable. That's what Rebbe Eliyashiv says. And therefore, he says, if you look, I don't know if you could see the end of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth line, the end of the fifth line. If you want to leave something on a hot plate, it does need to be covered. Because even if it's non-adjustable and you're not worried that anyone's going to come to use it, to adjust it, because there's nothing to adjust, says Rabbi Yashiv, I don't care. Lo plug chachamim b'takanaseihem. They made an iser to leave food on a flame, and a hot plate is just like a flame, and therefore you're going to have to cover it. Tzarech l'chasosa, sixth line, b'niyar aluminium. What's niyar aluminium? Of course, you know what niyar aluminium is. Aluminum paper, aluminum foil. Ava. Heavy duty, right? Rav Yashiv knew that there's different kinds of aluminum foil. Cheap, regular, you know, regular aluminum foil is not enough to make a, to be that covering, that blech that we're speaking of. You need heavy-duty aluminum foil. Why? Because what will that accomplish? Says Rabbi Yashiv, she'etzanein chomem ma'at. It will cool down the heat a little bit. That was what we said was the goal by sprinkling the ashes. You remember that? If you sprinkle the ashes, you shove the coals to the side. That lowers the heat level. It makes it a little cooler. That's what you need to do. But not the cheap aluminum foil. Look at what he says in the parentheses. Aval niyar aluminium dak. But the regular aluminum foil, lo mahani. That doesn't show. You know what it shows if you put aluminum foil on a hot plate? You know what that shows? Ask your wife, do you want me to cover the hot plate with aluminum foil? She'll say yes. Ask her why. She'll say, because I want to keep it clean from drips. Oh, so that's not going to be a hecker to show that you're trying to cool it off. You're not going to make any adjustments because you're cooling it off. You're putting a layer on top. You just want to prevent it from getting dirty. You want to prevent it from getting dirty. That's all aluminum foil does. And therefore, if you want to show that you're doing something that's a real hecker, that shows you're not cooking on it, that you're not going to adjust anything, I know it's unadjustable, but the idea of what Chacham wanted you to do an act that you're cooling it off, the only way to do that would be with heavy-duty aluminum foil. That's not just put down to keep it cool, to keep it clean. That would indeed be like that ashes that we spoke of last time, a few minutes ago, that it would cool off the fire a little bit. That's what Rebbe Yashiv says. So according to the simple understanding, Rebbe Osai, if you have a non-adjustable hot plate, theoretically a non-adjustable hot plate, you could leave whatever you want on it. Because the whole concern for poking, for stoking the coals, or in the case of a fire nowadays, for raising the flame, or on a hot plate, raising the setting, doesn't apply by a non-adjustable hot plate if there are no settings. However, comes Rebbe Yashiv and he says that no, I'm machmir even by a non-adjustable hot plate. I'm still machmir that it's subject to this halach of not leaving foods on it on Friday afternoon, and you will need a blech if you want to put something on a non-adjustable hot plate. So I want to finish off this shiur right now. I'm not going to go to the second half, which is putting foods on it on Shabbos. That will already be another, maybe we'll do that shiur next week possibly. I see there are some questions that I have to address. Hold on. One second, please. So, Chaim asked, what about a crock pot? Does a crock pot need tin foil? Let's talk about that right now. Let's say a crock pot is... the question that you're asking is, do you have to line the interior of a crock pot, meaning between the outer part, that's the heating element, and the ceramic insert, which carries the food, that carries the chant in it, between those two, do you have to line that inside with aluminum foil? Well, let's think for a second. What time are you putting up your challit? If you put your challit up in the morning, and it is already at least half cooked before Shabbos comes in, so since you and I paskin lechananya, like the lenient opinion that says, once food is half cooked, you're allowed to leave half cooked food on an open flame. So once, let's say, a challit needs 6 to 8 hours, once you cooked it for 3 hours on Friday afternoon, you no longer need to line it with aluminum foil. You no longer need any kind of blech. If, however, you'd put up a crock pot right before Shabbos, if you put a crock pot up half an hour before Shabbos, an hour before Shabbos, an hour and a half before Shabbos, you have to have a blech. That's usser. According to everybody. You're not allowed to put up a crock pot before Shabbos, an hour and a half before Shabbos, because that's the Isser Drabban that we're speaking of, that you might come to adjust the flame, or on a crock pot, adjust the settings. Crock pot have multiple settings, and therefore you're going to come to adjust the crock pot on Shabbos, and then you're not allowed to put it up an hour and a half before Shabbos. You have to put it at least 2 to 3 hours before Shabbos. It has to be at least half to a third cooked. Ideally, it should be a half. Most, the Shulchan Aruch passes a half. It has to be at least. So if we assume cooking a challit would be, especially beans take a long time to cook. That could take 8 hours, so you have to do it on four. You have to leave it cooking 4 hours before Shabbos. So if you get home very late Friday afternoon and you're going to throw in a challit in your crock pot right before Shabbos, you better be sure that you have a blech. How do you make a blech? You're going to have to take aluminum foil and put it, line the entire interior of your, not just a little bit, the entire interior, all four sides. And if it's an oval crock pot, as they most are, all sides of the circle of the oval of the interior will have to be lined with aluminum foil in order for you to leave that crock pot on for Shabbos. If you set it up many hours before, then it's fine. Now, I will tell you something that, again, I don't have the source in front of me right now, but the Be'er Halacha does say that even if you did have it half cooked before Shabbos, and we're saying that Mi'ikra Hadin, you could leave it without a blech because it's half cooked, it's Machal Ben Jusai. The Be'er Halacha says it is Lechatchila to be machmir, to put on a blech anyway. You know why? Because you remember what the Shulchan Aruch holds? I'm telling you, we could be so lenient because we're Ashkenaz and we could follow the Ramah. It's true, but do you remember what the Shulchan Aruch holds? Shulchan Aruch holds, like other Rishonim, like many other Rishonim, that hold, like the opinion, that you're not allowed to leave anything on an open flame if it could be adjusted, or anything, unless it's going to get ruined. But anything that improves, even if it's fully cooked, anything that will improve like a soup or like challit, it will improve according to that opinion of Chachamim, who argue on Chanani, according to that opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, who goes like the Chachamim, you're not allowed to leave your food on an open fire. So we don't hold like that. We hold once it's Meichel Medrisai, everything's good, free for all. You can leave it on an open flame, you can leave it in an adjustable crock pot, you can leave it on an adjustable hot plate once it's half cooked. But the Chachamim and the Shulchan Aruch passing like that Chachamim, we don't. But the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, like the Chacham that says, has to be fully cooked. If that's the case, my friends, the Be'er Halacha says it would be lechatchila to be machmir for that opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, and therefore it would be proper to have a blech even if your food is Meichel Ben Jusai. So, Mi'ikra Hadin, the answer to your question is, Mi'ikra Hadin, you do not have to line the inside of your crock pot as long as you got it up and going 2-3 hours before Shabbos. Lechatchila, it is proper to line the inside of your crock pot, even if you did put it up early. That is the answer. Next question. Okay, Mr. Gold asked a very good question. He said, if you don't have a blech and you're in a hotel, why don't you use something to cover the controls? So that is something that we spoke about this week, on one of the evenings at 6:15, we spoke about covering the controls. Yes, Rav Aaron Cutler says what you're saying. Rav Aaron Cutler says that you can simply cover the knobs. In the olden days, they would stoke coals. Nowadays, we don't stoke coals, we turn knobs. So if you cover the knobs, that's doing the hecker. That's fulfilling what Chachamim wanted you to be concerned with. You're making that hecker. But all the poskim reject that. All the poskim say no. The Chachamim said that you have to pour ashes on the heat element, on the coals. You have to cure the coals away, do something to the heating element. When you cover the knobs, that's not where the heat comes from. So most posts can reject Rav Aaron Cutler. However, you're right. If you're in a hotel and you have no other options and there's nothing else you could do, then you're right. You can rely on Rav Aaron Cutler, who says that you could just cover the knobs and that will be sufficient to fulfill the din of Garav Bikata, to make it like you're not, to make it like you're not going to adjust the that you won't adjust it on Shabbos.
And what about the fact that you do or do not have to have a bless that folds over the knobs? Are you saying the knobs aren't, but most people accept it? But
yeah. So the way the majority of the poskim reject Rav Aaron Cutler and say all you need to do is to cover the flame, to cover the heat source. If you want to also be concerned, Rav Aaron Cutler's concerned to also cover the knobs, you know, tavol alecha bracha, that it would be a beautiful thing. So tomorrow afternoon, when you put up your challenge, it would, in the lechatchila way, I will tell you right now, lechatchila, you should have aluminum foil covering the interior. That's not mikra din, it's the chumra, the entire interior, as well as to be machmer also for Rav Aaron Cutler to cover the knob. That would be the most lechatchila thing that you could do. If you want to. Mikra Hadin, all you have to do is make sure it's half cooked before Shabbos. But if you want to do most lechatchila, so that would involve, A, yes, covering the interior and also covering the knob. That would be the most lechatchila, the frumest you could be. Okay? Very good. Yeshkoch Rabosei, thanks for joining. Thanks, Dr. Schuster and Chazen and Mr. Rubin and Yankee and Dr. Pinter. I hope you have a quiet night in the hospital. And Mr. Gold and Chaim and Shalom and Yechiel. And Ben and Carolyn Schloss, I'm not sure who you are, but thank you for joining. And Josh and Yossi, Esther, I'm not sure who you are, and the Schwabs, and everybody else. So thank you for joining this evening. And Dr. Corman, of course, and Josh, whichever Josh that is. I wish you all a good evening. Be well. Good to see you all, and thanks for coming. Maybe next week we'll do the second half of this. And of course, please tell your families that on Tuesday night I'm beginning a 3-part women's series that will be more halacha lemaisa, not as much of the lamdas, more practical, and you know, straight, you know, to the, with a little bit of understanding, of course, but more practical, covering a lot more ground as opposed to what we did tonight, which was much more in depth. Bez Hashem, that will be a 3-part series starting this Tuesday for the following 2 Tuesdays at 8:45 p.m. So the next 3 Tuesdays, 8:45, refresher series for women of cooking on Shabbos. Okay, have a great night, and tomorrow afternoon, 4:30, Bezus Hashem, is my Divrei Chizuk on this Zoom at 4:30. Have a good Shabbos. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Oh, people.
Yeah.
Oh,
Yeah.
Nice crowd.
No, see
you. Very good.
I just ate a banana.
Good for you.
You use the Shavuos Yitzchak. We have one right here.
There are a bunch of shoes. This looks. Shavuos Yitzchak has a few volumes. So, yes. There are a few over there. Okay. Menachem?
Hey.
Moshe?
So my room was super moist downstairs.
Okay, so
you have to... So I turned on my fire and hot.
Great.
It was like literally my shirts were wet.
Good. So it's good you turned it on. That'll help.